Living the Word Today.
So, every time we open this book, it is a fresh opportunity for God to talk to us. Let's make very sure that we are listening to what He wants to say to us.
LivingTheWordToday.com.
Look, the message of the Bible does indeed prepare us for eternity, but it also prepares us for the day we are currently living.
Welcome to Living the Word Today. We invite you to spend the next few minutes studying God's Word with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. Pastor Wagoner's desire for you is not only to understand God's truth, but to help you live it today. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
Glad that you are here. Looking forward to being with you all. Last week we talked about follow me, thinking about discipleship, and that's going to lead us into where we're going all the way through Easter. But we talked last week about two verses, one where Jesus says that when a disciple is fully trained, he becomes like his master, that likeness to Christ. Then Jesus said he appointed 12 that they would be with him. That was the process of training, to be with him. We talked about if you want to be like him, you have to be with him. And I hope that that truth has resonated in your heart this week while we've been looking forward to this time of worship. And that was the very beginning reality of discipleship that we looked at last week. I'm going to take you here to Matthew 26 to really the last command of Jesus before the crucifixion to the group or collected group of disciples. And you'll find it here in this context. And we're going to talk this morning about watch and pray. And you will hear those words again here in just a moment. If you have your Bible and you'd like to follow along, I encourage that. Look at verse 36, if you will. And before I begin reading, let me just remind you that the context, the flow, the history, the chronology is that this is right after the Last Supper, after he spent some time with the disciples on that night. We talked a few weeks ago in chapter 17 of John about that prayer that he prays to his Father. And now we are heading into a new location on this night before Jesus suffered. Verse 36, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. So the 11 are with him. Judas left at the Last Supper, and he shows up in the narrative at the end of this passage. But the 11 are with him, and he says, you stay here. I'm going over there. I'm going to pray over there. We're told in Luke, and Luke gives the most kind of detailed version of some of the backstory of this prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. But it says that this is where he often went. This was a regular place when he was in the area of Jerusalem he would go to pray. In fact, it's still there today. And that same area, just down the slope from Jerusalem and across this valley called the Kidron Valley and up the slope of the Mount of Olives, and there's still olive trees all around there, and it's a beautiful place even today after all these years. So he goes to pray. He tells the disciples, you stay here, and he takes three of them a little closer, so they're going to go with him really into this area or this place where he's going to pray. It says here in Matthew that it was Peter and then the sons of Zebedee. We know from other scriptures that that is James and John. So this trio is up close with him. And he says, sit here while I go over and pray. And then you see this phrase in the end of 37. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. If you've been reading the narrative of Jesus, if you're just reading through it, particularly for the first time, and you didn't have some of this backstory information, we've seen Jesus sorrowful before. I don't think we've ever seen him distressed before. So this is an absolutely unique period in his life and a unique moment in time. And then he gives voice to it in verse 38. And he said to them, this is Peter, James, and John, these people that he said, I want near you. I want to be near you and you near me. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Amazing words. And you see a little flavor of this struggle that he's going through in verse 38. And then into verse 30 where we hear the prayer, 39, excuse me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So he's fully surrendered to the will of the Father, and it's not our purpose to kind of get into the prayer. I want to get into the command that he gives the disciples, because we're talking about discipleship. But it's very deep, very profound. I'm not sure that any of us can fully, as we talked about in the last time we talked about one of Jesus' prayers, that we can fully enter into the reality of that, the dynamic of that relationship between God the Father and God the Son. But we hear those words. It says in verse 40, "Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, 'What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" And we're going to center our thoughts in that verse I just read, verse 41. But just for the flow, I want to read the rest of this account beginning in 42. "Again, a second time he went away and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done.' And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And he came to his disciples, said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed in the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" And then verse 47, the first part. "And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came to the chief priests and elders of the people." And you know the rest of that story. But go back to verse 41 for our looking this morning. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. They should have known that something serious was about. Now you understand, he finds them sleeping rather than praying. So Jesus says in the end of 40, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Now, we might be able to give them some excuses. Maybe they were just physically tired. Maybe the stress and the pressure of what they were going through and what Jesus was going through led them to get some rest. But we really shouldn't give them any excuses, because we don't deserve any excuses. Because when our Lord and Savior says, "You watch and you pray," that's what he commands. And they should have known something about the seriousness of this moment, because, first of all, he's heading into this garden. It's a time of prayer, that's serious. But also the disciples had been previously warned about what was going to happen to Jesus when he got to Jerusalem on this last journey. He told them that he would fall into the hands of sinful men. He'd be arrested, he'd be crucified and buried. And also gave prediction of the resurrection. So they should have known. Peter himself was warned in Luke 22. We have the account of that. He says, "Peter, Satan desires to have you and sift you like wheat. He just wants to take control of you and use you for his purposes. Watch out. This is serious." And if you go up the page to verse 34 through 35, you have two things that Jesus says. He says to the disciples, quoting from the Old Testament, "You're all going to be scattered. You're not going to stick with me. You're not going to defend me. You're going to be scattered. You're going to be running and hiding." And then he gives the statement that he makes to Peter, that he would deny him. So all that should have been the backstory, that this was serious, that this was about to take place. They should have known how serious it was just by their own observations, not only what Jesus had to say. Because it tells us in verse 36 that he says, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he takes the three disciples closer, and it says in the text, he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. If they were his friends, which they were, if they were close to him, which they were, if they had any thoughtfulness at all, which they perhaps lacked a little bit of at this moment, just seeing Jesus in this state would have been enough to say, this is a serious moment. He's asked us to watch with him. Just watch. Just be here. Stay awake. Be here. Be on guard. Be here. Be thoughtful. Be here. But instead, they succumbed to slumber and did not get at that moment the seriousness of this moment. And the command is given. It's a serious request, where he says to them, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And then he repeats it after they've gone to sleep. "Watch and pray," 41, "lest you enter into temptation." This is a command from the words of the Lord, from the mouth of the Lord Jesus, the words of God spoken. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Very serious. It's a command. It's not an option. It's exactly what he wanted. Constant watching, continual praying with him. If we're going to be like him, we need to be with him. And I suggest to you that this watching and this praying, that indeed this is serious business, and it's a serious part of our becoming like him. May God allow us just to be refreshed with the reality of this, that part of our Christian walk, part of our lives, and what the Word of God is calling us to do is simply this, that we are to watch and to pray. Let's talk about what those terms mean. Maybe that'll help us a little bit. What's it mean to watch? Well, the opposite of watch is sleeping, okay? So that's that we understand. And so being inattentive, not mindful. But watching means simply to be with your eyes watching, processing, thinking. I remember I had a coach when I played a little bit of sports back in my junior high days. We'd have, you know, you'd be running a play or you'd be in position, whatever it was. And every time there was going to be a play, you had your particular position, you had an assignment. You were supposed to do this in this situation. And the coach was trying to teach us that. And he had this phrase he kept repeating. Now, keep your head in the game, boys. Keep your head in the game. Be thinking. Be thinking ahead of what you're going to do. If this happens, your assignment is to do this. And to be thinking about it. So if I could borrow from my old coach from many years ago, we need to keep our head in the game. We need to be thinking. We need to be aware. We need to be alert. We need to be giving attention to what is around us. What he says, what we perceive, what we know to do, what the Spirit is prompting us to do. Not be sleeping and giving inattention. Now, there's any number of things that get in the way of that. I don't need to convince you of that. There's many things that do that get in the way. One of the things, have you ever got into a death spiral of scrolling on your phone? If not, just go into any public place this afternoon. You'll see somebody. I've been there too. You know, just keep scrolling and scrolling, and then your mind goes numb, and you just keep scrolling, and after a while, your mind just turns into a gelatinous blob of nothing. You know, just things that distract us. It could be worries. It could be concerns. It could be just I want a break. There's nothing wrong with giving your mind a break. But if all you give it is a break, something is going to break down in our lives. Watch. Take seriously that you're a follower of Christ. Take seriously that He is the Lord. Take seriously that there is danger and there's serious situations around us. And pray. Well, I don't need to say much about what praying is. We know what praying is. It's talking to God. But these two things fit together into a pair. That's the reason Jesus said them. If we only watched, we're aware and thoughtful, but we don't fully connect with God in prayer, then something is left lacking. He wants us to be aware, thinking, what's going on in my life? What am I? Should I be doing? What I should not be doing? Where should I be my focus? Thinking about those things, but then I need to close that loop of saying, Lord, now that's what I think you're leading me to do. I pray that you'll empower me to do it. I want to do it for your glory, not for my aggrandizement. I want to do it for the purpose of the people who have need of me being in their lives. And then as you pray, you understand that helps you be even more mindful. The mindfulness directs our praying. If all we did was pray and weren't mindful, we would not have the insight of what exactly we should be praying for. The specific and the zeroing in on what's going on in our lives. So they fit together as a whole. Watch and pray. Now there's a couple of categories that we can think about of our praying. And the first one occurs prior to verse 41 where it says watch and pray. And if you go back up the page to verse 36 where it says sit here while I go and pray. He says in verse 38, watch with me. Stay here and watch with me. You see, in our lives as followers of Christ, we have, yes, this is a serious thing. This is serious stuff to watch and pray. But we also have this understanding that there are serious opportunities around us. They had the opportunity to do something for Jesus. What one of us who have trusted in Him as our Savior would not want to do something for our Lord? Especially when you think, what has He done for us? How about starting with, He made us. And He's given us life. And He's saved us from eternal punishment and promises eternal bliss in heaven. He promises to go with us in this life. If anyone be in Christ, He's a new creature. He gives us new life. He wants to give us joy. He wants to give us forgiveness. He wants to give us the second chance to get back on the right path. And again and again and again and again it goes. We want to do something. We have serious opportunities to do something for Him. And sometimes it's not that complicated. Sometimes it's rather simple. He says, what I want you to do, you stay here and you watch. It doesn't take a college course or a seminar to figure out that that's very simple to do. And most of what God calls us to do is not that complicated. And the Word of God is full of those things that direct us into that constant watching and praying. So opportunities to serve for us are not quite so directly related to being in the presence of Christ, although we are in the presence of Christ, but we don't see Him and hear Him like they did. Most of our opportunities to serve Christ involve other people in our lives. and just to be seeking that opportunity. Be watching for the opportunity. Be ready for it. And then when the opportunity presents itself, you pray that God will give you the strength and the direction to do it well. Or if you don't see the opportunity, Lord, I'm praying that you'll give me the opportunity. Help me not miss. Help me not go to sleep on this. Help me not to be just so blanked out that I miss the prompting of the Spirit of God. Lord, I want to watch, and I need you to help me to watch and empower me to do what I need to do. You know, it might be just as simple as just showing up. That's what he wants. You just sit there and watch. And just simply showing up for someone, stepping into their lives, being with them, coming to this place and joining fellowship together. Sometimes it's just being there with them. And sometimes you don't know what to say, and sometimes there's nothing you can do. I had a conversation with a lady just a few days ago in a really difficult situation in life. And I did say I would pray for her, and I have, and I will. I did say, if you need anything that I'm unaware of we can do for you, let me know, and we'll do the best we can to help any way we can. But what she really needed, the real need in her life, was something that I do not have the power or the strength to do anything about. It's got to come from God Himself. But you know, I'm thinking, what do I say? Lord, help me. It's obvious. This is the opportunity. What do I say that I can encourage this lady? She's a believer. And I just said simply this, very simple. Any one of us could have said it. I said simply this, you know God is always with you. And because of that, He's going to see you through whatever that is. And I don't know her future. I don't know how it's going to go. But I do know this, that is true because God has said it. Sometimes it's just being there with persons and saying the right thing. Sometimes it's very tangible. Sometimes it's as tangible as what some of you have done this morning. You've brought some money and put it in a basket, or you've given online. You might think, well, that's just ordinary. I do that all the time. I do that regularly. That's part of my planning of how I handle my finances, and that's blessed. But don't lose sight of the fact that that simple act of worship, God wants it, and God is blessed when you do it. And you remember the little boy with the lunch, right? The feeding of the thousands on that Galilean hillside. God took a little bit and expanded it into a whole lot for His glory, and He can do that with our little bits. So it can be as simple as all the things that you do. And I see it around the church all the time. And there's a small little army of people that do all sorts of things. And you might think, well, what I do is not that significant. Yes, it is. I just referenced the choir that sang a moment ago. You might think, well, my voice is rather insignificant. I'm just one voice of a larger group. Your voice is significant. Because collectively that ministers to us in song. It inspires us. It pulls us into the truth. It kind of flushes out some of the distractions in our life so that we can watch. And Lord, we want to hear from His voice. So whatever you do, do it for the Lord. There's opportunities around. So watch and pray. Pray and watch. But then if you look at verse 41 again, Jesus says something after the command to watch and pray, right? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, we all face temptation. We're told in Scripture that temptation is common to man. It comes at us from our own flesh, it comes from the world around us, and it comes from Satan and his minions that attack us all the time. So we understand that. We've all experienced that. We all continue to experience that. But there's something about this phrase in verse 41, that you enter into temptation. It's not just being tempted, it's like you're in the midst of it. You've kind of been pulled in. And he's saying that to the disciples because they're about to be tempted and have pressure on them of a grand part of a colossal conspiracy against God. And Satan himself is orchestrating this attack against Jesus, which leads him to the cross. We know that victory results, but he was being attacked. He was hated without cause. He was lied about. Even his follower Judas had turned on him and betrayed him, and for 30 small pieces of silver was leading to his arrest and the rest of the story. They were in a serious situation. So we need to say it this way. We need to watch and pray, not only because of serious opportunities, but because of serious danger in our lives and in our world. He says, watch and pray because we don't want to enter into where we get into temptation and then it swallows us. It has us in its grip, and we succumb to do the things we shouldn't do, or we fail to do the things that we are commanded to do. And whether it's a sin of omission or commission, Satan has us where he wants us, and we fail. How do you deal with not getting to that place? You watch and you pray. You look what it looks like that's going on. And this struggle has gone on from the very beginning and will continue on, we understand. But we're actually going to be talking a little bit about gardens over this next few days as we go toward Easter. You understand that mankind's problem, the entrance of sin, took place where? In a garden, right? And we know that the Bible tells us in Scripture that in John 18:1, it says where he went was a garden. This is the garden he's in. And in 19:4, where he was crucified, it says, at that place there was a garden. Mankind's entrance into sin started in a garden. The final victory over sin at the resurrection took place in a garden. And in that context, it kind of starts and ends sort of in the same setting. And this, the night before his crucifixion, he's in a garden. Should have been a quiet place. Should have been a peaceful place. He says, watch and pray. Because even in this quiet place, and even in this special place, even in the moment when you don't suspect it, watch and pray, lest you enter into and be trapped by temptation. And he gives the why there, does he not? The spirit indeed is willing, and the flesh is weak. I know for a fact that every one of us in the room know those words to be true, not just because they're on the page, which they are, and that does make it true, but every one of us in this room know that because we have been there many, many times. I mean, we want to serve the Lord. We want to live a life that we're not overcome by sin. We want to live a life that our hearts and our minds and our words and our actions and our reactions are just empowered by the Spirit of God, and we walk a holy life before Him. We confess our sins and find His forgiveness and just keep marching forward and growing in Him and the process of edification, Him building us up. We go forward in an unbroken stream, but the Spirit is willing. But we also know the flesh is weak. And what one of us haven't had time and time and time again where we've fallen, usually in the same small cluster of temptations that kind of zero into our hearts, into our lives. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Why do you need to watch? Because as strong as we may think we are not. And as much as we want to serve and to be strong and to be pure, to be holy before our Savior, as much as we want that, our flesh cannot produce that. What do we need to do? You need to be watching, looking around, be alert, be on, have your head in the game, and then pray. I mean, it's even part of what we call the Lord's Prayer. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We need your help. We need your protection. We need to be prayed up and pray always. And find those areas of weakness in our lives. Excuse me, those areas where we struggle. Those areas where we have been time and again being in those places. There's a man by the name of Tertullian. He's known as one of the church fathers. He lived from 150 AD to 220 AD. So this is very early in the days of the church and the spread of the church. He lived in northern Africa in a Roman city. He was a believer, and a lot of his writings are preserved for us. He fought against false teaching in his writings. And one of the things he developed to help us understand that we struggle with sin, to kind of make this real, he created a list of what he called the seven deadly sins. Now, there's various versions of that and various things have been done with that, but I just want to read the list because I don't want to really call out an example, but indeed, there are these areas. So here's what he said was we need to be watch out for. Pride, greed, wrath, envy, lust, gluttony, and sloth. I feel like it's just get a big rubber stamp with guilty and go right there. You know, it's all over that. We struggle. Find out what your struggles are. Maybe there's something on that list or any list that you say, that's not as big a deal, but boy, that is. And it simply is by being watchful, being watchful over the course of your life. Where have I struggled? And then maybe ask yourself the question, how do I get there? What's the steps that lead me there? Is it being at the wrong place at the wrong time? Is it having the wrong attitude? Is it harboring something in my heart that shouldn't be there? Is it being around people that influence me in a way that I shouldn't be influenced? Diagnose all those things. Be watchful of those things. And pray for strength to stand and live for the Lord in a way that's pure and holy. Because there are some things you can change about your environment that will help you live a holy life. But you know what? You can't change you in your environment because the flesh is indeed weak. So I just want to call us. I'm going to call us to this reality that you and I need to be people that just watch and pray. Watch and pray. And if you don't remember too much of what I said this morning, the great news is this verse is right there tucked away in Scripture. And it's God's command to His disciples, these last moments that they're together prior to the crucifixion. And the words that ring through the centuries of time from that time until this time and say to you, what's He want us to do to be with Him? We need to watch. We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to watch. Watch for those opportunities and pray over them. Watch for those dangers and pray for God's spiritual strength to overcome them. What if we just took a little step forward right now? That we just commit together, we're going to watch and pray. Now, to have that kind of strength, to have that kind of opportunity to watch and pray and have that connection to God, to be like Him and be with Him, you have to start a relationship with Him. And let me just take a moment and say, maybe that's something new to you. Maybe you don't even understand really what that means, but I just would give you this briefly. That problem that started in the Garden of Eden when man and Adam and Eve fell into sin, and we all have followed in that train, is what separates us from a holy God, our sin. Sin is universal. All have sinned and come short of God's glory. We know that by experience. We know that by the Word. The wages of sin is death. And rather than us dying eternally for our sins, Jesus took our place and took our sins upon Him on the cross. He died for you. He didn't just die as a political prisoner or caught in some earthly conspiracy. He died to be the Savior, the sacrificial Lamb of God. The price for your sin has been paid in full by Christ. Now all you have to do is say, I take that in a step of faith. That is for me. That's what I'm believing in. I love that I Believe song that you all sang a little bit ago. You know, I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit He's given us new life. I believe in the crucifixion. I believe that He conquered death. I believe in the resurrection and He's coming back again. That can be yours if you put your faith in Him. If you say, I don't really know how to do that, that's kind of confusing to me, but if you feel God prompting your heart, we'd love to have a conversation with you, pray with you, answer your questions from the Bible, hear what you think and what you believe, and we want to lead you to the truth as God reveals it in His eternal Word. We'd love to see you come to know the Savior and walk along with Him, and you join the throng of people from the time of the disciples in the garden to now. That we are people who watch and pray. Let's pray right now. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this recounting of this old, old story. Lord, we want to follow You. We want to honor You. We want to live for You. We don't want to have lives that are consumed by sin, marked by failure. We want to, Lord, find those opportunities to serve You and serve You with our whole heart. Help us, Lord, to have our minds and our hearts alert. Help us not to be distracted by all the things that are around us, to think seriously about the danger and think seriously about the opportunities. Help us to watch and pray. Help us to walk in holiness. Lord, if there's something going on in our lives that is a sinful affront to You, an insult to You, and it's damaging to us and damaging to people in our lives, Lord, would You just call that out? Help us to surrender that to the Spirit of God, to confess it and forsake it, to watch and pray that we would not fall into a pattern of continual repetition of those things. Lord, help us to watch and pray because that's what You've asked us as Your followers to do. We ask for Your help because, Lord, our flesh is weak. Lord, our hearts and spirits are willing, but our flesh is enormously weak. But You're not weak. You're infinitely strong. We need to lean in on You. So help us to do so in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Living the Word today. We appreciate your sharing in this study of the Scriptures. Also, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you will not miss a single episode. And thanks, too, for your prayers and for letting others know of this ministry as we seek to be living the Word today. We would love to have your feedback and to hear from you, and the best way to contact us is through our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.